Unconventional Life, the show where twice a week I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Each of these individuals are at the top of their game in terms of revenue and reach in their respective industry, living life in the driver's seat beyond what is traditional or predictable. On this show, you will learn how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck.
It means living a life of passion and purpose.
And what would it look like if you create it from the ground up?
Everything that's shown up in my business has been a place for me to grow or expand as a human being.
I pretty much get paid to be me.
Very frequently, the exact things you think are against you might be the things that are actually the reason you can make it.
I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, tuning in from the lovely Boulder, Colorado. We've got Lauren Andrews in the house joining us from Orange County. Lauren, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Absolutely.
Love it. So Lauren Andrews is the CEO of The Foundation, a global entrepreneurship community that has helped entrepreneurs from over 45 countries start businesses from nothing, focusing on their method of idea extraction and pre-selling. And The Foundation is an awesome program for any entrepreneurs that are looking to get into entrepreneurships or get into business that don't know they're entrepreneurs just yet and gotten to see their business firsthand evolve over the last few years. So super excited to have Lauren on the show. She's got quite an interesting story going from personal assistant now to CEO, and she's getting ready to host the Foundation Live event, which we will be talking about towards the end of our episode. So for all those that are listening that are wanting community, excitement, and fun, you'll want to make sure to hear that. So Lauren, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being on Unconventional Life. Give us a glimpse into your personal life and, you know, share or fill in any details I might have left out.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Jules. Foundation loves you, and we're glad to be able to partner with you on this. Yeah, the Foundation's been around for 4 years, founded by Dane Maxwell and Andy Drish. Dane started it essentially from his parents' garage with $123 to the name, so the story goes. And then I stumbled upon Andy, who's in Boulder, not too far from where you are right now, back in 2014, while I was looking for another job, while I was starting my PhD, and then came across the most sketchy Craigslist ad you've ever seen. But for whatever reason, I went ahead and applied and ended up going to the interview, and I didn't know who I was going to be meeting with, ended up sitting with the wrong person, and then finally found Andy. He gave me his credit card and a key to his house within about 5 minutes of meeting him, and was hired as his personal assistant so that I could have a very balanced part-time job while I was finishing my PhD and going into sociology and continuing my work that I was doing with nonprofits as well. And then it wasn't too long after that that I quit my PhD to come on full-time with the Foundation, and here I am now, about 2.5 years later, and it's been the most crazy, amazing roller coaster ever.
Yeah, I love it. And it's been cool, though. I've known Lauren over the last, I think, year now. And to see all of the roles that you've taken on. I mean, 2014 to 2016, to go from sketchy Craigslist ad to being the CEO of this awesome organization is, you know, really cool to get into the intricacies of that. And so we'll dive into that a little bit later. But, you know, let's turn back the time a little bit, because I know you've got quite an interesting story. I mean, you went to college at 15, which is wild in and of itself. But before we even get there, what was it like for you growing up? You know, I know like a lot of our listeners, you hear the end product almost in the introduction, but what was it like for Lauren? Like, were you kind of always following like a non-traditional path? Were you pretty like by the book? Like, what were your parents like? Like, tell me about the early years.
Oh, absolutely. So I was actually born in Boulder, but then it wasn't long that my parents divorced and I moved back down to Texas with my mom and my sister. And I feel like it was very untraditional how I grew up. Very much tomboy, very much always inventing things. I was talking with one of my friends yesterday about how I always tried to invent a flying bike to get to my grandma's faster. And I was always trying to just do these crazy things growing up. And then I think the most unique dynamic that I had growing up is that one side of my family was pretty poor and the other side was pretty well off. And so even though there was a polarization in those parts, both were very entrepreneurial. And that was not something I recognized until about 3 years ago, that both sides of the family were businessmen, super successful, or artistic, super creative, amazing talent. And there was always the notion that you can create whatever you want, you can do whatever you want. And my family was completely encouraging in that and really gave me all the freedom that I wanted to go out and pursue whatever I wanted. So whenever I was in high school, where I was going to school, it was a pretty poverty-stricken town, and a lot of people were stuck there. A lot of violence, just not a good place to be. And I knew that I wanted out as soon as I can. Or as soon as I could, rather. And so whenever I was, I guess I was 14, I stumbled on a program called Texas Academy of Mathematics and Science. And that was up in Dallas, about 4 or 5 hours from where I was living at the time. And they allowed high school juniors and seniors to come in and do a two-year program to where they started college early. So I loved math, but the real thing was I loved music even more, and I was really into piano and oboe and percussion at the time, and I was like, oh, UNT is a great music school, so I'll go to this math academy, but I'll do music on the side. So I applied, and it was about a year-long process, and I got in, and so I moved to Denton, Texas, UNT, for Eagles, and I ended up going through the program, and then I stayed there for my last 2 years of college for my undergrad, and went from math and science to music to sociology. And it was really diving into sociology and social issues, social justice, social change, and then nonprofits is where I teed off at and did my my minor in and my emphasis in. And so then after that, I started working with nonprofits full time, and went and got my master's and decided I wanted to go the educational route and really just create a movement within the nonprofit sector, yeah, centered around academics. And really the core of that being that I thought nonprofits were the ultimate avenue for social change and social justice. And then the reason why I quit my PhD, rather put it on hold, I'll go get it one day, but was that I very quickly saw that what the foundation is doing and what so many other millennial entrepreneurs are doing is that they're creating a lifestyle that they're able to have businesses that create social change, and that they're able to go out and create good in the world to create social justice. And that really entrepreneurialism is what I believe to be the most effective and expedited source and venue for social change rather than anything out there right now. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I believe whenever entrepreneurs come together and they create great things and they have the community and support they need, that we're able to make a huge difference in the world. And it's so much more than just profits. Yeah. So I know that's a little bit off tangent from just my life story. It's definitely what my heartbeat is right now.
I love it. And I love, we'll explore that in just a little bit. And before we do, Lauren, how old are you for those that are listening?
I'm 24.
Yeah, 24. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure that our listeners heard that because Lauren graduated at 19 years old from college. And you're like, oh, I just put off my PhD at 24 and now I'm just the CEO of this really large company that's doing like millions of dollars a year, which is awesome. But let's talk about, you know, graduating at 19. So some of us, you know, that have gone to college, you know, that's might be the start of your sophomore year. And so how did you leave everything at 15? You know, I'm the oldest of five girls. I have two sisters that are 15 and 17. Like, it takes a certain level of maturity, in my opinion, to be able to leave home at that age. But how did you grow up in those 4 years being far away in college? Like, what was that world like?
It was rough. And you know, my little brother, he's 16. He just turned 16 not long ago. And I was kidding with my mom. I was like, how did you let me leave? She's like, you were stubborn. And I couldn't imagine my little brother leaving and going off to college right now, though. But I'm just grateful that my parents built me up in such a way that they let me go out and try new things. And I took my first trip by myself with like a youth group when I was in sixth grade and went to Washington, D.C. And so I really feel like growing up, whenever I have an opportunity, I go at it full force. So if I have the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., I will do every car wash and bake sale necessary. I'm a great baker now, by the way, because of all those fundraisers I did growing up. But you make it happen. If you have an opportunity and you can see what it will grow into, you put everything you have into it and you humble yourself and you do the crappy positions and the crappy things you need to do to get to wherever you want to go. Because it's not a glamorous ride by all means. And for me, that started really young and really started by if you wanted something, you needed to work for it. You needed to be creative about it and smart about it as well. And
yeah,
it really comes to that is seizing every opportunity and making the most out of it, really.
Yeah. So why I wanted to touch on that is because I imagine you felt like in a lot of ways like a little fish in a really big pond. You know, you're 15 starting freshman year versus 18 and, you know, graduating at 19 and people are 22. And there's drinking and there's all the different things that come with college. But beyond that, like the little fish in big pond type of thing, I think that relates a lot into the theme of what we're talking about with entrepreneurship and how often, you know, if you're starting, if you're listening to this and you're still in the day job or you've just started your business, it can feel overwhelming to be like, I know no one, like all these people are older or they've already done it or they're more successful or they're this or they're that. So for you mentally, how did you keep your head on straight being like little fish in a big pond? And, you know, what are some things that you could tell our listeners, you know, who might find themselves in that position right now? Like, how did you make it through?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you said that. I remember my first roommate, she made perfect scores on all her SATs. And when you go from being in school and being a great student to being the dumbest student, you're just like, it does something to you when you're 15. But you also, I think the biggest thing is whenever you feel like the little fish, know that you're not, and have people who you surround yourself with that constantly encourage you and let you know that you're so much bigger than what you're seeing right now. And perhaps you are a smaller fish than what you want to be, but you're still growing. And as long as you're growing, you're going to get there. And for me, it really goes back to who you surround yourself with. I remember it was about 2 weeks after I started this program in Denton at University of North Texas. I was 15 and I had gone home for the weekend and my mom was driving me back up to the bus stop in Houston so that I could take a bus to go back to Dallas because I didn't have a car at the time. And I had a panic attack. And that was the first panic attack I've ever had in my life. And I'd love to say that was the last one, but definitely not. And really, it just comes to having those people that you can rely on and just you can support you and just that community that it just runs so deep and it's so valuable to have a good 5 people in your life that you can rely on. Because just like they say, you are the equivalent of the 5 people you surround yourself with. And I just firmly believe that you need to have good people around you who support you when things are crazy. Otherwise, it's just going to bring you down. And I've seen that happen time and time again with people, to where they're running after a dream. They get in a bad relationship. They find a new friendship. They move away, get involved with different people. And they no longer have that support system, or rather that encouragement or that good influence. And they forgot about their dreams and their passions. And they're just kind of on another path right now, which if that's what they want, that's one thing. But for the people that I'm thinking of in my head, I know they're wanting to get back on the right place. And I know that just being involved with the right people and being involved with people who are future thinking, that challenge your thought, that challenge your choices and your ideas, is invaluable.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, totally. You know, I also really appreciate that you shared about like the panic attack, because I know anxiety is something that I personally, you know, have struggled with on and off over the years. And I think you talk to a lot of really successful people and they would say the same thing. And I feel like anxiety comes with the territory at times and it's not talked about. And so I love that you brought that. And I'm curious if there's anything that you could say about navigating your own relationship to it, to anyone that might, you know, have anxiety, that might be having panic attacks, or that might just be, you know, feeling tense around it. Like, what have you found to be beneficial for yourself in navigating?
Absolutely. Really, it wasn't till this spring that I came to terms with it. Shout out to Frank Moserino, who you were on a podcast with him not too long ago.
The Foundation podcast. You guys should check it out. Yes. Unconventional Life Family, if you haven't checked it out already.
He does our podcast and he's one of our mentors in the community. And we were at our offsite this past April. We were actually up in near Breckenridge in the mountains. And I was talking to him about my anxiety and how it's kind of turning more into depression and just can't get a hold of it and I'm really sick of it. And he's like, well, just sit into it. And at that moment he said that, I was like, this is crap advice, Frank.
sit into it.
Like, what does that even mean? And then we talk about it for about, oh my gosh, it was probably a good hour. And really what it came down to was not pushing that anxiety aside, but okay, think about it, get down to the core of why you're anxious. And then this is the key to what he said, replace it with gratitude. Replace all your anxiety with gratitude. So the biggest impact that I've had whenever I'm anxious is, thank you, Frank, for the advice. I get out my cell phone and I text a couple of people in my life, back to those core 5 people, 10 people, probably 5, text how grateful you are from them, text them that you don't need a response, but that you're just telling them you love them. And replace those thoughts, sit into the anxiety and replace it. And honestly, I have been so peaceful since that conversation because I've chosen to replace things with gratitude and switch my mind off. So not just pushing anxiety aside, but dealing with it and replacing it.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to have to give Frank a ring and hear more about that too. But I think that's awesome. And you know, for those listening, like in your vulnerability and your sharing, I know that that hits on a lot of stuff that we all deal with. So, you know, let's go back a little bit, you know, so you've graduated college, back into your story. And, you know, I think what's interesting about what you said before about seeing the realm of being a nonprofit, you know, growing up, it was like, this is the avenue for how social change, how change exists in the world. And then actually being like, you know what, I think it's business. And especially I imagine now, flash forward however many years, being in foundation, really seeing that firsthand. But
yeah,
I'm curious, like, what is it about, what was it in that shift? Like, what was it that you saw that you were like, okay, this is what I want to commit my life's work to for right now, you know? Like having something in your head, because I think a lot of us, we have these passions and these ideas of how things are growing up, and then we see them actually play out in reality, and sometimes they shift, and it can be sometimes like, oh, well, I wanted this the whole time, and it's actually this, and then sometimes it's like, whoa, like, okay, it's actually, you know, so I'm wondering what it was like for you having that awakening and realizing that, and what was it? Was it like a moment? Was it a story? Was it a long progression?
It was a long progression, and whenever I first noticed it, I remember I was actually down in Texas visiting my grandma, who I'm really close with, and I was sitting outside on her patio having a call with Andy, and he was like, so are you going to start back up in the fall, or are you going to be full-time with us? And I just had, I guess it kind of was a moment, really, on top of a long progression to where I was like, I actually get to spend time with my 85-year-old grandma whenever I want, still live in Colorado, travel. I have unlimited freedom, and it's all in my hands. This is exactly what I want and exactly what I've been looking for so long. And having that kind of freedom in your life, whenever you have total control and you don't have to go into work for 8 hours, to really just do 4 hours worth of work, or to go after someone else's mission and build someone else's dream. One of our students, Caitlin Pyle, she wrote a testimony a couple weeks ago, and it resonates really deeply with me. She says, I don't miss the girl who I was before the foundation. And for me, it's exactly the same. Whenever I came into the foundation, I had massive change throughout every area of my life, and just having the freedom to do what I want when I wanted and build and create what I want just completely changes you. And I think, I like to think at least, that every human has some form of that desire to have the freedom to create and do what they want in the world. For me, whenever I did have a few office jobs with nonprofits, even though I was a little bit higher up in the scale and I had more freedom with my schedule, still not being able to travel when I want or to go see my grandma when I wanted, that's heavy, and that's not the life that I want. I want to be able to see my family and live when I want, where I want, and there's just so much freedom that goes in that, and it's just changed me on every level, and I don't miss who I was before the foundation.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you share that moment, and it had been how many months since you had started working with Andy when that conversation?
Oh, geez.
When you were sitting on the porch.
Two months.
Yeah. So flashback 2 months prior, you're somehow looking on Craigslist, still planning on going through with your PhD. I'm imagining maybe you needed a summer job of some kind, or were just kind of looking for something else to tell me a little bit about
what was actually, I had just moved back to Colorado from Texas. Since I moved down to Texas, I basically waited my whole life to move back to Colorado. So I finally did that summer of 2013. And I started working for an organization. And basically, it became really shady really fast. And it was in January. And my boss, essentially, he was wanting me to do something shady with the taxes. And I was like, explicit no. And I was like, okay, well, I need to find a job before this date when he like gave me this deadline. And then I need to go. So actually, I had been job searching for like 6 months, and it was insane. And so finally I, saw this Craigslist ad, and I was like, you know what? Like, I've done consulting and nonprofits, grant writing stuff before. I'm going to just do my own consulting business. I'm going to have a part-time job on the side, and I'm going to get my PhD. And I'm doing a TA-ship right now as I'm finishing my master's, so it would all work together. so I started doing that. And then it wasn't long after I started working for Andy that I was like, I'm still doing some grant writing and some TA work. But the PhD was the first thing to go, and then slowly it was a full immersion, I guess.
Yeah.
And one thing I wanted to touch on too is thinking back to it and being like, okay, I quit. I gave up the PhD for the foundation 2 months into working for Andy. And I was like, at that time, I hadn't even gotten through all the course material, but it was such a sudden impact of being around good people who want to create good in the world and not live the 9-to-5 and not be trapped to their desk, that really put me on the path to being encouraged and being around those five people and being around good people and wanting to be a better person and grow. And so just knowing that, just seeing that and you asking that question really gave me the reflection of, wow, I really have great people in my life. More gratitude.
I love it. It sounds like, yeah, even though it was 2 months, like I imagine being a personal assistant probably wasn't glamorous. Like you had had these other positions, you had done like way cooler things, and it was probably just paying the bills. But for some reason, you know, it was like, so Lauren, are you going to come full time? And like, I almost feel that like instant yes. And I really resonate with like in life, we have these moments where we have these instant, like full bodied yeses where it's like no rhyme or reason, no logical anything, but it's like, nope, that's how I'm going. And I'm wondering if it was that kind of full bodied yes for you in that moment.
Absolutely. I mean, I was driving down to Boulder from Longmont, picking up Andy's laundry, bringing it back home. And then I started doing HR and I started doing the finances for the foundation and bookkeeping. And, but at that moment, it was an absolute yes that this is what I need to do. This is what I want to do. I'm fine with folding laundry and making you food. Like, I don't know. It's just so good.
Yeah, totally. And I love, like, you started there. And in 2 years, like you said, you moved into operations and into finance and HR and so many other roles into eventually now the CEO. And I just want to like applaud that because it's awesome to watch like that growth. And for anyone listening, you know, maybe you're not an entrepreneur yet or you're your own entrepreneur inside of a company. Like it's such a testament of if you put your mind to it and you keep playing, like you never know. And I imagine like when you were folding laundry, you would have never imagined that you'd be CEO of this company that you're folding laundry for. You know, it's like,
And I feel like it all goes down to finding opportunities and anything you have in front of you, give it 100%. Do it with a spirit of excellence. Don't half-ass anything. Do everything full force and do it well because you never know what's going to come out of it. And as long as you are a good steward of the kind of person you are and the value that you bring into the world, you're going to get that value back.
Yeah, totally. So if you could touch on that for just a moment or two for someone listening that's like, so Lauren, what was the secret sauce? Like, how did you do that? You know, if you could break it down, what was it that you think gave you your edge and ultimately had you keep advancing?
I feel like a lot of time people mistake this with hard work, but it's so much more than that. It's doing things with a spirit of excellence and being humble enough to start from ground zero or wherever you are, or from creating an opportunity and sticking with it and giving it everything you can. I mean, it's saying, yes, I was second in command at this nonprofit making millions of dollars to, you know what, this opportunity to be involved with this company that I know is doing good and has more integrity than this one here. I'll go all the way back down and start as a personal assistant. It's seeing a good opportunity, being in tune with your integrity and working with excellence in everything you do. It's not just hard work. It's not just putting in long hours. Though trust me, I had a 26-hour week or day rather last week. So there is a lot of hard work and time that goes into it. It can be exhausting, but it's so much more than just putting in the time and putting in the effort. It's doing things well and doing things with integrity because that's going to get you so much further than any amount of hours that you put drilling into things. And I think it also goes along with working smart as well. Don't just lollygag around and throw your time around, but use it wisely and do things well.
Yeah, totally. I love that you're touching on humility. And that's at least how I'm hearing it, is like this element of being humble and willing. Because I think that sometimes as an entrepreneur, you know, or being in this realm, you can get an ego, and there's a lot of ego associated with being an entrepreneur. And that's one of the reasons why I love you guys at the foundation so much, is because it's like the total opposite. It's like, come hang out, let's be people. And so what do you think it is about that, about being humble, and especially now under your leadership, that spirit of humility, one, is carried through your life, but carried through the work that you're doing in the world? Because I think it really is something that has you guys stand out a lot. in the types of people you attract. Yeah.
That really means a lot. Anyone who knows me and spends like 5 minutes talking to me about the foundation, my team comes up. I've talked about Frank and Stacy, and I mean, it goes on and on. But having a good team is key. Who you're working with, what you're doing, who you're involved with is so essential. And whenever you're building your team out and the people that you're relying on, you need that connection. And so where the humble piece comes in is I come with a very holistic approach to where your whole team's involved. You're not lording over them. You don't have that ego, but you sit back and you discuss what needs to happen, what's going on. And just having that connection with your team and that trust to where not only are you relying on them to build a company, but you're building them up as well. Whenever you invest in that and whenever you see that they're growing, then, and you're humble enough as someone in charge to let that happen and to care about them. I remember in my very first job, whenever I was actually 19, and I was the business manager of this nonprofit, and I was second in command over a couple of different entities that was our umbrella group. And my boss, Jerry Ader, who will probably be watching this later because she's still one of my biggest fans and I love her dearly and we're both really good friends still. She would always tell me to hire people above you and that whenever you get an ego and you start hiring people who are less than you and you know that you have an edge on them because you know more than them, that's whenever you're not going to be successful. Hire people who are better than you and smarter than you. And build a great team and be humble enough to have good people around you and to see your weaknesses as their strengths and to have that balance.
Yeah.
I think the whole humble thing goes into so many other pieces too, though. Yeah. But I think it comes down to being humble enough to see your weaknesses and complement them with other people's strengths and then to celebrate those strengths in other people as well.
Yeah. I love it. So good. So good. So let's talk about what is happening next because you are now the active CEO. Like you said in the beginning, the two co-founders, Dane and Andy, who are good friends of mine, you know, they've stepped down. And so you're running the ship and you're hosting, you know, your live event, which is coming up here, you know, at the end of October. And so I imagine in some ways, like, it's kind of a big deal. It's like, Lauren, CEO, like, and I know event planning is kind of like your ninja zone as well, but you're opening up this event to the public for the first time. And so for anyone that's listening that wants to know more about the event, we'll talk about it just at the end of our show. But how are you processing that mentally? Just like knowing that you're active CEO, okay, it's the first live event without the guys. You've got 500 people that are coming to Vegas for this like kick-ass gathering. Like how do you feel about all of it? And like what's going on in the mental picture?
I'm so excited. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's overwhelming. There's a lot of details that go into it in planning. Our events are very unique in that they are very action focused and they're very community focused too. So whenever you step in the doors that Wednesday night for our opening party, your family automatically. And if you don't make a new lifelong friend within 5 minutes, I'll give you $100. it's that kind of thing to where it's just instant connection with whoever you come into contact with. And I know you were able to come last year to our live event, and I think you were able to see how it is very unique. And we put a lot of different details into it. Our team has recently coined our events as the mullet of the conference world, to where it's business up front, party in the back. and to where it really is just a lot of fun. And you really, not only do you leave with your business in a place to where you're growing, you're scaling, you're moving, you're making really smart tactical moves there, but your personal life changes as well to where you have just extraordinary vision and good people to surround yourself with. I know I keep talking about who you surround yourself with, but it's obviously a very powerful tool that I've had in my life. And I think in our community as well, who you're able to come in contact with and develop true friendships with and true partnerships with, is just so invaluable. And so not only do you get the business, but you get the network and you get a greater vision for your life than what you came with. So I'm just excited for October.
Yeah, I love it. And I ended up going to the event last year. I have not done the foundation. It was a week before, and at the time I was Jules and Chris. So you guys can go to julesandchrismusic.com. You can actually see the foundation live event video we did on site. But yeah, it was like a random like, hey, do you want to come? And I had no ties to the community, and we ended up performing. It was great. And I ended up meeting my current boyfriend, which was even better, and met in Mexico. He lived in New York, and now he's been imported to Colorado, and that's been fun. But yeah, it's a really remarkable experience. And after our rapid fire round, which is the part we're going to move into next in the show, we'll give you guys all the details about that. So with that being said, let's dive into the rapid fire round. This is a series of random questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, question number one. What is one thought that keeps you up at night regularly?
As long as good men do nothing, evil will always prevail.
That was deep.
All right.
Yeah, I love it. All right, next question. What is the worst advice you've ever received?
Work harder. I feel like that's hammered around and thrown around so often. It's not always about working harder. You can keep hitting a nail on its head, and it's not going to do any good if it's bent or broken on the inside or going in the wrong direction. Sometimes you need to step back and work smarter or work more effectively or work better.
Awesome. All right, next question. What is it that you think goes into team building? Like, what do you think makes team building so magical and so effective, like workable teams?
I love this question. I love teams. Transparency and authenticity. At the end of each of our events, our offsites, when our team is together, we go around and we do two things for each person. It takes about an hour, 2 hours sometimes. We go through a series of affirmations and things that we really love about that person, things that person's doing well. Then we also go through and we give what we see their next better version of themselves are. So things that they can work on, things they can improve. It's done all from a very loving heart, loving standpoint, but having that transparency among the team in a non-business way necessarily, both business and personal lives, help us grow in all aspects of our lives all together.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing.
I love it. Next question. What is one thing you do daily? It could be a practice, it could be a meditation, an affirmation that you feel contributes to your personal success.
The gratitudes. It's a recent one, but doing daily gratitudes absolutely puts you in the right frame of mind to be able to conquer the world.
Yeah, love it. And lastly, what does living an unconventional life mean to you?
It means being able to create whatever I want in the world on my own terms and to spread good in the most quirky ways.
Love it.
Make an impact.
Yeah, so good. Well, Lauren Andrews, everyone. Lauren, tell us about the event that's coming up. If anyone wants to find out about the foundation, I love these guys, for those that are listening. You probably have already noticed that. But yeah, tell us about that. And then also, I know you've got a great giveaway for one of our listeners that is listening. So give us the details.
Absolutely. So for anyone interested in the live event, we're calling it the Foundation Experience this year. You can head over to thefoundation.com/live-event-2016 and you can sign up there. Consider this your personal invitation. It's October 26th through 30th, 3 full days, amazing speakers, Andrew Warner, Brian Harris, Dane and Andy will be there. We have a lot in store, a lot of networking. It's not your traditional business conference. So if you're wanting to meet new people, if you're wanting to build a business in a day, if you're wanting to learn all kinds of crazy things, go ahead and sign up. And then for the giveaway, anyone who signs up from this podcast, we will be doing one upgrade to our VIP package. And then for everyone else, we'll be selecting another one listener to give away a free t-shirt. So
yeah, good stuff. So you guys
can all the prizes.
Yeah, so win a free t-shirt, or if you decide to go to the event, feel free to get an awesome, sweet upgrade. You can go to unconventionallifeshow.com to check that out. But more than anything else, for anyone that's listening and wanting community, I know it can feel so trapped and isolating at times being in this digital world. behind the computer screen or wherever you might be listening to this podcast, wondering, where are my people? And if you are craving some FaceTime and your people, this might be the place to check out. So awesome stuff. Lauren, thank you so much. Unconventional Life family, thanks for tuning in. Another great episode. We will talk to you next time. If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.